get organised. As a church, we've been reading the New Testament in 90 days, which has been wonderful. I know quite a few people in the room are doing it. And this week we have landed in Romans. And Romans is the letter that Paul writes to the community of believers in Rome about 50 years after the resurrection of Jesus. And he hasn't been a part of establishing this community of believers, so he writes them an in-depth letter all about salvation. And this letter that he writes has become one of the premier documents of theology for Christians throughout history. So how did we go this week, all us budding theologians? Have we gone okay now in Romans? Yep, doing well. Now, very simply, and if you are a budding theologian, please forgive me for making it so simple, but very simply, we can divide Romans into two parts. The first 11 chapters talk about our salvation, God's mercy and grace to us through Jesus, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. And the remaining chapters talk about our response to this, how salvation completely changes our life. And today we're going to be in the second part of Romans, how salvation completely changes our life. And we're going to settle into a little portion of scripture in Romans chapter 13 in a moment. But before we get there, I just want to lay the foundation for what we're about to read. And you'll probably know well Romans 12:1, which I feel is a bridging verse between the first half of Romans and then the last portion of Romans. And we know it well, where Paul says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, in view of all the things that I've just told you about salvation in the first 11 chapters, in view of that, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Paul spends the next few chapters talking about how we are transformed by our salvation. And his main theme is love and service to others. Radical love. Not just everyday feelings love, radical love, which means it's love that is an extreme change from what's been existing in our hearts before. Radical love for our neighbours, for our brothers and sisters, radical love for ruling authorities even, and even radical love for our enemies. And Paul explains that our highest and first obligation is to love. That love is not the feelings love, it's a love which is honouring and obedient to God. It's love that loathes evil and seeks the highest good for another person. It's sincere love, it's radical love, the living sacrifice kind of love. And we can only do it because we've received the mercy and love of Jesus Christ and we have his Spirit. So with this foundation in mind, let's open up to today's scripture, Romans chapter 13. And I'm going to read from verse 8, but our focus verses are actually verse 11 to 14. And I think we'll actually read this tomorrow if you're doing the Romans plan. So we'll all have the heads up. And this is a punchy little bit of scripture. It's really motivating, it's energizing, and it's pretty challenging. And it really grabbed my attention and it's been challenging me. So let's get into it together. And in my Bible, it says, love for the day is near. Chapter 13, verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commands there may be are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilment of the law. And here's our focus verses for today. And do this, love, and do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissensions and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now I want to read it again in the Message translation. Just sit back and listen and see if you can get a sense of what Paul is saying here. Make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work He began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute, must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. Can you feel the energy in what Paul is asking us to do in this little chunk of scripture? He's giving us a very clear message, which is really helpful for a three-point sermon today. Wake up, get dressed, and get into it. Have you ever overslept when you really needed to be awake? Anyone had that experience of oversleeping? I remember the morning that we stuffed up our alarm, and it's a Sunday morning and Brendan and I are both on the worship team that morning. This means we need to be up and out of bed, we need to be fully dressed, and we need to be in the car by 7:20 to get here on time. So we set our alarm for 6:20 in the morning. And this particular morning, I'm laying in bed, I'm sort of half dozing. I never sleep that well before being here on a Sunday morning. I'm dozing in and out, and I'm wondering, I wonder how long there is left until the alarm goes off. And in my sort of sleepy state, I become more and more aware of light coming through the cracks in the blind. So I finally decide to sort of lift myself up and look over the bed to the clock on the other side. And to my absolute shock, it's 7:15. We need to be heading out the door in the car and be here for worship. But instead, we're still in bed, we're still in our nightclothes. And Paul is telling us in these verses, the hour has already come. It's already here for us to wake up, to get dressed, and to get into it. It's time for us to be spiritually awake and living intensely and intentionally in the radical love of Jesus Christ. This is the message in a nutshell this morning. So if you hear nothing else, you know, and go to sleep, that's okay, you've heard that bit. But for now, let's go and have a look at the three instructions that Paul is giving us in this scripture. Wake up, he says. Now, the definition of sleep is a state of inactivity with a loss of consciousness and a decrease in responsiveness to the events taking place around you. Where we've been spiritually oversleeping, unresponsive, inactive, it's time for us to be awake, says Paul. Let's read verse 11 again. He says, and do this, what is it that we're to do? Radically love and serve people. He's told us about that in the chapter before. Understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Paul's giving us the wake-up call. And here's the call. Someone is coming with something wonderful. Jesus is coming with salvation. He's on his way. The night has been long and dark, but it's almost over. The day is almost here. Salvation is nearer than the day when you first put your faith in Jesus Christ. Wow, this sounds like some good news today, doesn't it? This sounds like something to be excited about and to anticipate. So let's understand what this means. Salvation is an awesome word for us. Salvation means safety, preservation from danger and destruction. It means deliverance. And Paul says our salvation is nearer now. So what does that mean? Salvation is a big picture, and we experience salvation in three forms. We experience past salvation, present salvation, and future salvation. Past salvation, it's already happened. Jesus has come. He has saved us from the penalty of sin through his death and resurrection on the cross. That has happened. We're living in present salvation. This is what's happening now. Jesus is saving us now from the power of sin as we live with his Holy Spirit. And then there's future salvation. This is still to come. Jesus is coming again, and we will be saved from the presence of sin finally and completely. And this is the day of salvation that Paul is talking about, the day to come. We often call it the second coming. And he says it's getting nearer. And we'll be completely done with sin and suffering and sorrow and sickness and tears and the enemy, and it will all be over. And we and all of creation will be fully redeemed and restored. Does that sound like a good day to come? All the promises that we sing about, that we pray about, that we believe in, that we put our faith in, they will all be fully realized. I like hearing what John Piper has to say on things. He helps me to get a big picture. And this is what he says. He says this about the glorious day. He says it's where Christ and his people will lead lives so full of joy and love and justice and creativity that everything that we thought was great in this age will be like a kindergarten to the universe. That's how great it's going to be, our final salvation. Does this give us a little bit of hope today? Does this put a little bit of anticipation in our spirit? Maybe it even gives us a little bit of perseverance with some of the things that we are going through, a bit of perspective. Paul says the day is getting nearer. And this is what he tells us. He says we must wake up and understand the present spiritual time that we're living in. The present spiritual time. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. This is our present spiritual time. We're in a time of overlap. We're in a time of in between. A time of night still here, days on its way. The time of darkness is still around us, but we're experiencing light. The evil age, the dawning of redemption. The powers of darkness, the kingdom of Christ. The temporary, the eternal. Creation is groaning and redemption is coming. This is the big picture of the times that we're living in. And the Greek presents quite a big picture of this present spiritual time. And the big picture in the Greek is it's a time of challenge and chaos. Would you agree? We are living in a time of challenge and chaos. It's not hard to see that this is the experience around us. The enemy knows the time. He understands the present time. And he knows that the day of salvation is getting nearer and his time is nearly up. So he is battling hard, and the world is in a time of challenge and chaos, and we see it everywhere we look. Jesus tells us, and he tells his disciples, that we will experience challenge as well. When he was here on earth, he says to his disciples, he says, in this world, you will have troubles. This is certainly my experience, and I'm sure it's yours too. In this world, we will have troubles. But he says to his disciples, take heart though, because I have overcome the world. And in here, Paul tells us, and the day is almost near. And Jesus says, you may have peace in me, even in these times of challenge and chaos. This present time is such a big picture in the Greek. It's a time of challenge and chaos, but there's also this picture that it is also our season of opportunity. It's our season of opportunity. The night is around us, but Christ has overcome the night, and his Spirit is here. It's within us when we believe in him. We're in the time of salvation. So our present time that we live in as Christians it's a season of opportunity. It's time to seize the days of opportunity. It's time to seize the day and radically love and serve people in the name of Christ. And not just the lovely person sitting next to you this morning. No, Paul tells us that love is radical love. It's loving the unlovely people. It's loving the undeserving people. It's loving the hurting people, the confused people, the people who have been misguided in this time of challenge and chaos. In these final days of the night, we're the holders of truth and hope and life and peace. Do you hear Paul's wake-up call to us this morning? Sounds like he's motivating the troops for battle, and that is the vibe that we get from this little portion of scripture. Jesus is coming with salvation. Jesus is coming. This motivates us. This empowers us. This compels us to radically love and serve people. So we're awake now. Are we all awake now? Let me have a drink. We're awake now to this present time, and Paul gives us our second instruction. He says, get dressed. It's time to get dressed in our salvation clothes appropriate for this present time, the time of challenge and the season of opportunity. This isn't about salvation. That's already happened when we put our faith in Christ. This is about getting the clothes on that he has given us and getting into it. But before we look at what we have to put on, Paul tells us that we need to put on the armor of light and clothe ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, before we put on, he says, there's things that we need to put aside. There's things that we need to take off. The Greek is actually a bit more intense than the NIV. The Greek says there's things we need to actually fling away, as in an unclean garment. Get rid of it like an unclean garment. The unclean garments that no longer fit us as people of day and light. They no longer suit us as people living in Christ and anticipating Christ. They no longer fit us as people called to radically love and serve. Let me read again what Paul says about the things that need to come off. I'm going to read it from an old translation, the J.B. Phillips translation, because it's simple and it captures, I think, the big picture. Let us therefore fling away the things that men do in the dark. Let us arm ourselves for the fight of the day. Let us live cleanly as in the daylight, not in the delights of getting drunk or playing with sex, nor in quarrelling or jealousies. Wow, there's some big topics for a Sunday morning, aren't they? Paul calls out things that are not only harmful to us, but they hinder our radical love and service for other people. And he calls out the first big picture, the delights of getting drunk. And the broad picture here is reckless partying, self-indulgence, living for good times and pleasure. That's the broad picture. And I must admit, it's not hard to find those things in my life when I really examine what I do with my time. This is how the world tells us to live, doesn't it? Play short. At times, live hard. No, what is it? Life's short, play hard. You deserve it. You know, all those mottos that we hear. But Paul says, no, life is short. Let's make our lives count for Christ. Then the second big thing he calls out is playing around with sex. That's a pretty clear message, isn't it? We don't really need to even say much more about that, except that we know that the scripture lovingly confirms that sex is such a precious gift in a covenant marriage between man and woman. That's God's design. Anything other than God's design can cause us harm. The third thing he calls out is quarreling and jealousy. Disunity, wanting things that are not ours, promoting ourselves and pulling other people down. It's just the big picture of all the relational junk that we get caught in. The big message, I think, that Paul is saying by calling these things out is that none of these things are expressions of love to God. None of these things are expressions of love for ourselves, and none of these things are expressions of love for others. And Paul calls them deeds of darkness, and he says it's time for us as people of the day and the light to get serious about flinging these things away like unclean, ill-fitting garments. We're called to be living sacrifices transformed by the renewing of our mind. Does anyone remember the TV show The Biggest Loser? Anyone seen that, where people go on massive weight loss? Well, I bumped into my friend Lisa the other day, And fun fact, she is the first female to win The Biggest Loser back in 2010. And because she's my friend, I'm just gripped to every episode of the show back then. And each week I watch her body transform as she goes on and stands on the way in. And it's an amazing thing to watch her transformation take place in front of me. And then I remember the night of the finale, and each contestant walks out on the catwalk kind of thing in their completely transformed body, and they're covered in completely new clothes to suit their transformation. And Lisa looks amazing. And I remember the moment that she stands there at the end of the catwalk and she's got her pre-transformation t-shirt, and she sort of unfolds it and it's double her body, current body size. And she literally gets that t-shirt and flings it away with such attitude, as if to say, not me anymore, not fit for purpose anymore, like an unclean thing that's no longer a part of my life. And this is what Paul's saying about the unclean garments. They're no longer fit for us. You know, flinging away is not always an easy thing, is it? Especially when our garments have been on us for a long time. I remember, Lisa, the months of hard work that was behind that moment of flinging away the garments. Sometimes it takes intentional hard work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit to remove these deeds of darkness out of our lives, out of our mind, out of our heart. But the Holy Spirit will help us, because this is His desire for us to be people of the day and the light, free of these sins that entangle us, so that we can be running the race and looking at Jesus Christ. A few years ago, I remember being weighed down in jealousy. And Paul is right. When we're weighed down by these things, it really hinders sincere love for other people. And I actually was so bogged under, I went to Von, who was here in the morning service, and I said, "Help me, Von. I'm drowning in this." And together we prayed it through for quite a significant amount of time, and we believed that the Holy Spirit would do a work, and He did. He has set me free from that, which is a wonderful release. The Holy Spirit will do it because He wants us free. We as a community of people are walking towards Jesus together, so we help each other in these times of challenge and chaos to keep our eyes on Christ and to get rid of the other things. It's time to get dressed in clothes that fit our salvation, understanding the present time. And Paul says, put on the armor of light and clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Armor of light. These are battle clothes. We need battle clothes while the night is still around. We don't retreat or cower or succumb to the darkness. We put on the armor of light. This is our protective clothing, and it's our battle weapon. And you know what happens when we step out in an armor of light? Light always overcomes darkness. It always overcomes darkness, and light is a beacon in the darkness. We're called to look different, to look different to the dark around us, to be light for people in the midst of this time of chaos and challenge. And then Paul gives us this great picture. Clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. One translation says, let's be Christ men from head to toe. Put on Jesus. Design the label all over, given to us at great price. Paul says, put it on. Put Jesus on. And the idea is, stay in close fellowship with Jesus always. You know, it's harder to gratify the flesh when we're clothed head to toe with Jesus. Clothe yourselves in Jesus. He's the light of the world. He's the power to deliver darkness into light. He's the source of radical love. He's our source of radical love. And oh, how we need to be clothed from head to toe in Jesus. Charles Spurgeon says, live in such a way that men recognize that you are with Jesus. The other day I was on my way out of Whitford Shops, and there's a lady sitting at the front with obvious mental health issues, and she's calling out to everyone passing by, help me, can you help me? And I just watch person after person walk past, snigger, make a comment about being too busy or help yourself or, you know, whatever. And I just sense Jesus, come on, it's us. and the feet take over. I'm going to be late for something. Doesn't matter though. The feet take over because we're head to toe covered in Christ. There's no choice when Jesus decides that this is what we're doing. So I sit next to her and we talk and it's awkward and people stare because she's loud, and I just help her with the few little resources that I have with me at the moment. And I just give that illustration because this is what it is. It's wherever you go, whoever you see, the places that you are, the people you're around, start showing radical love and acts of service. Let's be fully clothed in Jesus Christ with an armor of light that looks different to the world around us. We're in times of challenge and chaos. It's our season of opportunity. Paul says, put on our salvation clothes. Get into it. Get into it. We're awake now. We're dressed. Get into it. Back to the very start at verse 11, Paul says, and do this. It's a strong instruction. What has he told us to do? Offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God, radically love and serve in the name of Jesus. Get into the good works that he has planned for me and you to do. This is worship, he says. You know, it's quite possible that some of us are tempted to retreat and hunker down in this time when the night is still here. The world's too dark. It's too far gone. I'm just going to hunker down and wait for Jesus to come. It's quite possible that some of us are blending in to the world, becoming invisible in the darkness. And it's quite possible that some of us are sleepwalking, going through the motions of church and religion, but really being spiritually quite asleep. If you're sensing the nudge today, the Lord is so gracious to us. And he says, today, if you hear my voice, today respond. That's what he says. Isn't that so kind and gracious? You know, that Sunday morning of our big alarm fail, Brendan and I are found oversleeping when we really should be awake. We're still in our night clothes when we needed to be up and dressed for worship. But when I understand the time and I realise the hour has already come for us to be up and awake, I shake Brendan way too aggressively. Wake up, I can't believe the time. And I probably say something like, you stuffed the alarm, you idiot. You know how you talk to your spouse at that hour of the morning. But what we do is we both move so quickly. We get up and out of bed. We fling off the night clothes and get dressed in record time. And we're in the car and we're at worship by 7:35. Yeah. Winning. Paul is calling us, you and me, the church. He's saying, no alarm fail this morning. I'm calling you loud and clear. Where there's been places in your life where you've been spiritually oversleeping, it's time now to wake up, to get dressed, to get into it. It's not about getting busier, but for some of us that might be the nudge. Get going. It's about getting real. It's about getting sincere. It's about getting intentional. It's about getting powerful with Jesus. This is the call. I've been very challenged by this little portion of scripture over the last couple of weeks. I've been sleepy in a few things. It's time for me to hear the nudge of the Spirit and to get out there and radically love in a couple of situations in my life which are difficult. It's time for me to hear the nudge and get on to some good intentions that I've been having in my mind for way too long now. Get on and do it. Make it happen in the name of Jesus. Our life here is short, but Jesus, he's on his way. This is our season of opportunity to show people Jesus by our radical love and service. Do we hear the call today, brothers and sisters? Do we hear it? The long dark night is nearly over. It's only a matter of time until the Son of Righteousness appears in blazing glory. And we want to be ready and we want people to know him. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes scripture is a real challenge to us. But Lord, I pray that we will hear the call today. I pray that I will, Lord, that you will just wake me up to sincerely love people. that I will get my priorities right, Lord. I pray that for my brothers and sisters too, that we will be people who step out of this place fully armed, fully energetic, and fully prepared to sacrifice our own lives and ourselves for whatever you would have us do. You're a good Father. We trust you with the things that you put in our way, the good works that you have planned for us. And we just keep looking to you and walking together with you, Jesus. Amen.